I want to ask you a question as we begin this morning. What does it mean to win at life? Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean to win at life? Have you ever sat down and kind of said, here's what winning at life is, and then created goals around that and said, here's how I'm going to live my life because I want to win at life? What kinds of things come to mind when I ask you, what does it mean to win at life? If you read a leadership book or pay attention to management, some of you work in different companies and you may have had really good managers, and they tell you what to do is make sure your team understands what the win is so that they know what to do. They know how to spend their time and their energy. So good leaders will make sure their team knows, hey, everyone, our win for this month is producing this many widgets. Right? And if we get that many widgets, then we've won for the month. Or they'll let their team know, hey, our win is we need to add this many new clients this month. And then your team knows this is what we're doing. This is what's going to drive our work. And if we get that many clients, we won. And if we don't, then we're not winning yet. Or we're going to build this many cars. Right? Some industries have a very clear, you can define the wins really well. Like today is a bunch of football games you're going to get played. You can define the win really easily. What's the score at the end of the game? Now we know if we won this week, right? Some industries, some of your jobs, it's really clear what the win is. Other places, it's not so clear. This morning, what I want to wrestle with is, what does it mean to win as a Christian? What does it mean to win when it comes to living the life Jesus called us to, following him and living a Christian life? Is it just mean that I'm living a holy life, being good, living right, not doing wrong things? Is that all there is, or is there more to winning as a Christian? There's a famous passage in the Bible that was written by the Apostle Paul, and I see people post verses from this passage all the time on Facebook and different places, and in it he defines his approach to winning at life. Let me read it for you. It's also, if you're following along in our app, it's there with the notes, and you can take notes there. Here's what he says, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Run to win. "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that's going to last forever. Therefore, I don't run like someone who's just running aimlessly, and I don't fight like a boxer just beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Again, I see this quoted everywhere. It's very inspiring. It's like, oh, this is what I'm going to do for the win. But what is the win that we're doing this for? Paul says, I'm going to train like an Olympic athlete. That's what he's talking about here. He's reflecting on the games that he would watch them play that became the birth of our current Olympic games. And they would run and do all these races only to just get a laurel crown on their heads, and that would fade away. He's like, there's something so much greater that we're running for. There's a win that we're pursuing that's so much bigger, but what is that win? He's like, I'm going to train really hard to do it. I'm not just going to run around and live my life aimlessly. I'm going to live it with a purpose. I am not just going to swing wildly, but everything I do is going to be with intention and with precision and accuracy. I'm going to discipline my body, he says, to make it do what I tell it to do in order to win. But what's the win? What's the win? As a Christian, how do we define this win at life? What does it mean to win? And for that answer, what we need to do is go and read the verses we don't read as often, the verses that came just before this, because they're the verses that inspire Paul to say, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do to win. I'm going to do all this. But the win is defined in the verses that lead up to this passage. So go back a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 19. And this is what he writes. He says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. That's Paul's description of the win. And to help us see it, I want to start with what he doesn't say here so we can see it in contrast. Because for Paul and God's word, and that means for those of us who are followers of Jesus, winning is not anything like what most of the people around you believe winning is. Most of the people you rub shoulders with, every movie you watch, every TV show you see, every podcast you listen to, the way they define winning is not going to be the way you define winning as a Christian. Most people think that winning at life means being free to do what you want to do. That you're winning at life when you're able to just do the things you'd like to do. And there are usually two particular ways, two polar opposite ways that people pursue this kind of freedom to just do what they want to do. Either they work really hard to build wealth because wealth enables me to have more choices to do what I'd like to do. And so they devote themselves to gaining as much wealth as they can so they can have more freedoms. Or they pursue pushing aside all responsibility and accountability and commitments so that way they can just do whatever they want to do because they're not committed to anything. So, you know, this person is the person who's driven, always working really hard to get more money to save up for retirement. This is the person who is like going to live on an island somewhere and just sip coconuts all day and just barely get by, but then I'm not committed to anything, I'm free, right? Where are you on that line, on that continuum? In terms of pursuing freedom, because the way most people in our world think of freedom, it means I can do the things I'd like to do. Freedom is about sucking up as much life as I can and not being entangled by anything that's going to hinder that. That's the idea of freedom they're both chasing. For Paul, winning means taking the freedom he has and spending it, using it to win other people, to lead them to the freedom and to the life that Jesus has for them. The freedom from sin, the freedom from self. The real win in life is to win people, to win them out of this sin and this aimlessness and into the glory of following Jesus. That's the real win in life. Winning isn't sucking up as much life as I can for me. Winning is giving out as much life as I can, giving out as much of Jesus' life as I can to others. That's what winning is for the Christian. Not just being a good Christian and doing what I'm supposed to do. It's giving out, pouring out life. It's using all the freedom Jesus has given me for the sake of others, that they might experience that same freedom too somehow. What will you do for that? How far are you willing to go for that? That's what then Paul starts to get into. You know what? And what he says is, there is nothing I won't do. He says, I am committed. I will do whatever it takes in order to win some. And his examples, some of it might get confusing when you first read it, but his examples are simply this. He says in his world, he grew up a Jew. He grew up an incredibly devout Jew, and he obeyed all the Jewish laws from the Old Testament, all the ceremonial laws, all the Jewish customs, everything that got added to God's word. He obeyed all of that. But then when he found Jesus and began following Jesus, he recognized that those things aren't what brought him close to God. Only Jesus did. So he could, all of them were pointing to Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled all of them. Now he was free in Jesus. He doesn't have to follow those rules and laws in order to be accepted. He's been accepted because of Jesus. And so that changed his life. But he says, whenever I go and hang out with Jewish people, and they're all still following these rules and these laws, and they think that that's what's keeping them close to God, I know different, but I'm still going to follow all those laws when I'm with them. When I walk into the synagogue, I'm going to do what they do because I want to win them to Christ. I want to be close to them so I can have an opportunity to win them to Christ. He even goes so far, just so we can get in our heads about how much he'll do, right? He has one of his friends circumcised in order to be able to fit in when they go into the synagogues. That's how far they're willing to go in order to, when I'm with them, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be them, to win them. And then on the other side, he's hanging out with people who are not Jewish. They're Gentile, and they don't have all that law. They don't follow all that law for life. They have other ideas about life. And so he says, when I'm with them, I don't bring that stuff with me. But And he says, I also don't become just like them and follow all their stuff. I just follow wherever I go Christ's law, which is the law to love them the way Jesus loved them. To the weak, I become weak. And this is how he ends it. And this is how he talks about it. I become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some. And right there is what it means to win as a Christian. I become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some. Not just living a good life and being good, winning people, using our freedom that way. And Paul is incredibly realistic. Notice the adjectives. Notice the determiner words. Those of you who like English grammar. I can't even say grammar. I'm becoming Bostonian here with my accent. These are the determining words, right? So I become all things to all people. No discrimination there. So that by all possible means, I might save some. Paul's very realistic here. And what he's not saying is that the measure of Christian winning is how many people you get to pray a prayer and, yes, Jesus, I'm a sinner, forgive me. That's not what he's saying. And I've, at times in my life, thought that was what it meant. And I've seen other people who think that's what it meant. Just get a bunch of people to pray because every time they pray a prayer, you've won. And now you've got more wins. And that means you're really winning as a Christian. But that's not what he says. That's not the definition. He says, I'm going to do all these things so that I might save some. He's very realistic. You'll do all this and some will be saved. Some will be saved. Because the measure of winning is not how many you and I get to pray a prayer. The measure of winning is our willingness to lay down our rights and our freedom for the sake of others, our willingness to do whatever it takes, to give my all for all people so that in some way they might be saved. That's my measure of, am I winning as a Christian? I look at myself and I ask God, and this is a tough question to ask because I'm not incredibly happy with my answer to it. I don't know how you're going to feel. God, am I giving my all for all in all ways? Am I becoming a slave for the sake of winning others? Am I choosing to spend my freedom not to grab more life for me, but to give more life, opportunity for life to others? That's the question of whether we're winning, laying down our rights the way Jesus did. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to show you a story from a couple guys from our church. And I think they're a really good example of what we're talking about today, about going where we've got to go. Because what we're talking about, again, is reaching our neighbor, right? And our neighbor, your neighbors are simply this. They're people who are close to you, but far from God. They're close to you, but far from God. But you and I can't lead them close to God unless we get close to them. That's how it has to work. And I think they're a really good example of that. But before we watch that, I'm anticipating that some of you are thinking of a question right now in all this, and that question should be, but where do we draw the line? Where do I draw the line? I'll do whatever it takes, but there's got to be a line somewhere, right? Do I become a gangster to win gangsters? Do I become a prostitute to win prostitutes? Where's the line? Do I go along with whatever my friends are doing and just do it with them in order to win them? Where's the line that I draw here in terms of what I'm willing to do? So much of Christian life, in my experience, has been get right and then whatever you do, stay right with God and make sure you're staying right with God, and we don't talk about the whatever it takes to win others. We just want to stay so far away from the line that we don't do anything to reach people who are across that line. And that can't be right. But we do need to keep in mind that there is a line. And I think here's what would help us with this. Where you draw the line is determined by how you define the win. Think about that. Where we draw the line in terms of I'll do whatever it takes is determined by how we define the win. If we define the win as seeing other people be transformed by Jesus, walk away from a life of sin and selfishness and just grabbing freedom, whatever it takes, and stepping on other people, if we want to win them from that, we don't do that by crossing the line into that with them, right? That wouldn't make sense. If someone needs to be saved from drowning, I don't deliberately begin to drown myself in order to save them, right? But I do jump in the water. So there's this line where I'm not going to get involved in things that are the very things that are killing someone. If I'm trying to help someone escape drug addiction, I'm not going to sit and do drugs with them. That's the very thing that's killing them, obviously. But I'm also not going to avoid them like the plague, because I can't lead them close to God if I'm not close to them. God, help us to recognize this in our lives and show us, Lord, who to do this for. I'm going to give up my time, my energy, whatever it takes to get close to them. That's what winning as a Christian is. And that's why Paul says, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. That is the opposite direction that everyone else is going in this world. And Paul says, here's what winning as a Christian means. You go that opposite direction. You deliberately choose to lay down all of your freedoms for the sake of seeing someone else become free. Spend it there. You know, a lot of people, what they spend their freedom on, if you think about it, we spend our freedom on is getting others to like and accept us. So our goal is to be accepted by the group that we're in. Our goal is to be accepted by a particular person. Our goal is to be embraced, liked, and accepted by the people who we respect, right? I want to get, and this happens from school age all the way through adulthood, I want to be liked until you become a curmudgeon and you don't care what anybody thinks anymore. But we all want to be accepted by someone or some group of people. And if that's your goal in life, then you're going to cross whatever lines, it doesn't matter, in order to be embraced and accepted, right? But if winning is leading people into new life with Jesus, then I'm not going to cross a line past that new life in Jesus. There's going to be a line there. I'm not going to do anything that contributes to death. All the bitterness and anger and selfishness and drunkenness and all the stuff that tears people apart. The adultery, the obsession with sex and sexuality, the confusion about who, identity and who I am, the looking down on other people because of pride, whether that's racism or ageism or sexism or any other of those isms, right? All of that, I'm going to spit that all out, because that has nothing to do with the new life of Jesus. That's where I'm going to draw the line. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Now, I want to show you this, or what I think is a good example of this. Many of you know Craig and Sergio. They're part of our worship team. Craig is leading, and Sergio helping him too, leading our men's stuff on Saturdays. You may have noticed every once in a while or heard them riding up in their Harleys, their motorcycles, and you may have noticed them sometimes wearing their vests or jackets with patches on them, because they're part of a motorcycle club called the Seed of Abraham, which is a Christian motorcycle club. And I think they're a really good example of what it looks like to do whatever it takes to win people who are far from God. Let's listen to their story together.
My name is Craig Zucchino. I'm a member of the Seed of Abraham Motorcycle Club. My club brothers know me as Whistle. I've been involved with the club for just over 4 years, and I'm currently serving as the local chapter's secretary.
Hey everyone, my name is Sergio. I'm a full patch member of the Seed of Abraham Motorcycle Club. I've been hanging around the club for about 2.5 years, and I've been a full patch for about 1.5 years, and I now currently serve as the chapter treasurer.
Seed of Abraham is a Jesus-centered motorcycle club that has chapters all across the United States and in New Zealand. The purpose of the club is really twofold. There's an outward part to it and an inward part. The outward part is that we're willing to share the gospel message with really anybody who's interested in hearing it. Not just in the biker set, but mostly in the biker set and the biker culture.
Because we're in a motorcycle club, we get to go to all of these events, motorcycle rallies, charity runs, anything that has to do with bikes. What we get to do there is we get to rub shoulders with all sorts of people. And because of that, we have the opportunity to share the gospel.
The inward part of it is that we are very intentional about discipling the men that are in the chapters, teaching them how to more deliberately and intentionally follow Jesus according to what he said in his word, according to the Bible.
The reason we do this is so that when we go out into these events, into these rides, that we have the confidence that only the Lord can give. We do this by making sure that we live life together and that we study the word together. suffering together, celebrating together, all for the glory of God.
There's a variety of challenges that I've had to face in the club. I mean, it's one thing to be accepted on the in the motorcycle club world and the motorcycle culture. It's another thing to even be respected. Because if you're accepted, it doesn't necessarily mean you have that respect. And, you know, we're already peculiar. Jesus' disciples, those who followed him, us today, we're already peculiar. You put me on a Harley and you put a patch on me. I'm getting strange looks, not only from people that we have a chance to interact with, but even other believers. But the reality is that if we look at God's word, when Jesus goes and sits with, you know, the outcasts and maybe the black sheep of society, those who were kind of put off, his response to the religious people when they pointed a finger at him was simply, it's not the healthy people that need a doctor, it's the sick. And how are they going to, he also says, how are they going to hear unless somebody goes to them? And so that's what we get the chance to do. But there are those challenges where you're not sure if you're going to be accepted. You're not sure if you're going to be welcomed. And to go into this culture, again, it can be a messy place. Motorcycle club culture can be messy, and it's messy. And to go into there, you need to be firm and confident in your relationship with the Lord to go into some of these settings, because you're going to be tested. And part of that testing ends up leading to relationship, because again, acceptance is different than respect. And once you gain their respect, you're able to speak into their lives through that relationship that you develop. But it's not easy. It takes time. It takes a lot of time, and it's inconvenient sometimes. But it's worth it, because we know that they need to know Christ.
There's a term, 1% motorcycle clubs, that they're the most intense of this kind, and they're ultra exclusive. So it's very hard for us to get our foot in the door. And when we talk about doing anything it takes to share the gospel, we have to be embedded in this world while still operating under Christ's law. The reason we're so intentional about discipleship and accountability is so that while we're in this world, we're not succumbing to this world.
There are many times where the Lord has confirmed to me by his Holy Spirit that we are reaching folks, and that we are doing the groundwork so that his good news might take root in their heart. One example that comes to mind is one of the 1% clubs in the area. They lost a brother of theirs. And one of the most loving things I know how to do is to offer my gifts. So, you know, we reached out to them and said, hey, you know, condolences for your loss, of course, but if you need anything as far as help with the funeral and whatnot, whether it's giving a word or singing a song, we'd be happy to help. And, you know, they were taken back and were like, yeah, we'd love to have you come sing if you got it. And that was confirmation from the Lord for me. So I was invited and went to this funeral and got a chance to sing the song Bring It All to the Table by Zach Williams. And, you know, you say you want to go reach somebody, and then when the opportunity presents itself, it maybe doesn't sound so appealing. In this specific example, there were hundreds of 1% motorcycle club members around me. And there was one member of the Seed of Abraham there, and we had one of our prospects with us at the time. And I get up at the cemetery to go sing the song. And you have the person who died's family there, kids there, all of his club brothers there, from different states all over. And I sing this song about Jesus. Now we can bring it all to the table, and that there's literally nothing he hasn't seen before. And that they can come on in and take their place at his table, join his family. And I mean, I got the spirit bumps just talking about it, but these folks who would be considered otherwise, again, outcasts, tough guys, which all that's true, where they're weeping, genuinely weeping, yes, for their brother, but because I believe the Lord was working on their hearts. Afterwards, there were members of the family coming up and members from the club that were coming up to me and folks who had come who knew this person who had passed away. And they were obviously upset again that he had passed, but with tears in their eyes, tears streaming down their face, started to inquire about what that song meant and who it was about and how they were encouraged by it, how that hit them, or they felt that song. And it was just confirmation again that the Lord was doing something, that he was reaching them, and that I was being used as a vessel and able to participate in the work that he had for me in that setting.
Something pretty popular in biker culture is to do a bike blessing. And that's something that we're able to participate in as a Jesus-centered motorcycle club. And we essentially just pray over the bikes and pray for the riders to, in Jesus' name, that they'd be safe and that the motorcycle stay operating throughout their trip. One of the clubs that we've been able to build a relationship with over the past year or so was kind enough to invite us to their clubhouse one night and ask us to do a bike blessing for them for a long road trip that they were going on. So we get there and we're huge warm welcome and we just get to talking, you know, just warming up a little bit. And we gather around, we pray for the bikes, just that they'd be safe and we give them all stickers that said, "My bike was blessed by Seed of Abraham Motorcycle Club." But we get to talking after, and they started to open up a little bit about their experiences with the church, and they ask us questions about things of the Lord and different aspects of Christianity, being a follower of Jesus. And to get that level of vulnerability is really special to us, because that's not something you come by very often in this world. So it was really cool to see the Lord work in them in that moment, or work through us into them in that moment. So anyway, they get back from their ride, and a few weeks later, they followed up with us. They reached out to us saying that they had a phenomenal ride. It was beautiful, good weather. One of their bikes broke down, but it was a lot better than it could have been. So thankfully, they all stayed safe, and they were able to get back up and keep going. But to see them recognize that it was Jesus that was keeping them safe. It was they recognized that, and they really appreciated what we were able to do for them. And it just opens up the door to continue building a relationship and to continue talking about Jesus and eventually sharing the gospel with them. So we're really looking forward to doing that with not just them, but to all the clubs and all the bikers we get to interact with.
Oh, what that looks like in your life. Maybe some of you will join motorcycle clubs. But you need to think about that right now. What does that look like in your life to do whatever it takes to spend your freedom for the sake of seeing other people won to Christ? Because that's what winning is for the Christian. It's not just that I know Jesus, that I have a relationship and I feel Jesus in my life. It's that I'm giving Jesus to people who are close to me, winning me and using my freedom that way, giving them to my neighbor. Your neighbors are people who are close to you, but far from Jesus. And here's what God's word tells us today. In order to bring them close to Jesus, we've got to go and get close to them. Whoever that them is in your life that you can get close to, that's the only way this works. And that's what winning is for the Christian. It's not that you get like 30,000 people saved this year, but it's that you spend your freedom to share that life with people. And then what God does is between them and God. You know, their response is between them and God. But you know you're winning when you're spending your freedom that way. So